The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, what an excellent weekend of football we had. I mean, at least the games I watched were really close, but dude, we had some excellent games this weekend. Couple of kick-ass games too, but lots of close games that really just came down to the wire. So let's get right into it, beginning with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens. This was a close matchup, but the Steelers had this game from the start. It was all them all day. They got the win 27-22, and it was a close one. But Aaron Rodgers was just delivering dimes. I mean, no matter what. I mean, this dude's playing with a broken left wrist, and that's his non-throwing hand, so it's all casted up. But man, he was just delivering with precision on these passes yesterday. If there's anything about Aaron Rodgers, that's just, he is such a beautiful passer. Just the way he just, boop, it just lands right where it's supposed to go every single goddamn time. So he was just having a great day. Their defense was having a great day. I mean, they just did not give Lamar Jackson really any room. Lamar Jackson did finally have a rushing touchdown, his first in like 8 games, something crazy like that. But I mean, other than that, it was all Steelers all day. Rodgers went 23 for 34, 284 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry, kind of quiet day, 94 yards. DK Metcalf, 148 yards. And not only that, this dude is such a beast. He came in on a punt return and was a gunner on a punt return. And they replayed him as a gunner on a punt return. That dude is like the fastest man on the face of this planet. I don't know what DK Metcalf is on, but it's like he's on not even roller skates, but like flames are coming out of the back of his shoes. He's lightning. But the Steelers needed that win because they've been kind of up and down all season, as have the Ravens. But I just kind of feel like the Steelers, I've felt like this whole time that they're going to continue to maintain the lead on the division and win it in the end, because the Ravens just, they don't play consistent football at all. And even though the Steelers have their shaky moments, look what happened when they faced off against each other. The Steelers were able to overcome some of their shaky moments and still get in there, still play a grimy, dirty game. And ended up with a big win that they needed over their division rival. And they do play each other again, I think in 2-3 weeks to end the season. So they see each other yet again in Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the Atlanta Falcons. Now this one started out close. And then the Seahawks opened up the second half with a kick return for 100 yards, by the way. And never, ever, ever looked back after that. They scored. So halftime, it was tied at 6. Then the Seahawks scored 17 points in the third quarter and then 14 points in the fourth quarter. Sam Darnold went off in the second half. He went 20 for 30, 249 yards and 3 touchdowns. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 92 yards and 2 touchdowns. And it was just straight up domination by the Seahawks. Big win that they needed because the Rams also got a win as well. So they're keeping pace with the Rams, not only for their division, but for the wild card. I mean, it kind of looks like at this point, the Seahawks, they're probably one of the top wild card spots. I feel like no matter what really happens these next couple of weeks, but I feel like they definitely are looking to get that division as well. Crazy game between the Cincinnati Bengals at the Buffalo Bills. This looked like it was going to be all Bengals. They came right out the gate and they were just dominating. And then all of a sudden the Bills turned it off in the second half. As a matter of fact, it was mostly the fourth quarter where they went off for 21 points. To get the win 39-34, their defense all of a sudden just started getting at Joe Burrow. And it was a snowy game, but Joe Burrow and Josh Allen were just trading barbs all day. I mean, this was the Burrow versus Allen Bowl for damn sure. Every time one of them would come out, the other one would score another touchdown. I believe Allen had 3 touchdowns. Joe Burrow had 4 touchdowns. As a matter of fact, Joe Burrow, 25 for 36, 284 yards and 4 touchdowns. But it was not enough because Josh Allen just went out there and just handled his business. He made some huge runs on some key plays. Also just made some huge chunk plays with his tight ends for the most part. But like I said, the defense had a couple of turnovers that were really, really key and basically were the difference in this game. But it was a very odd game because it looked like the Bengals were just going to absolutely demolish the Bills. And then the Bills were like, what's going on here? You guys aren't that good. We're much better than you. And they went out and showed that. Then another close game. A game that's actually essentially for nothing because it's two of the worst teams in the league. The Tennessee Titans at the Cleveland Browns. The Titans actually got their second win on the season. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing considering now they're no longer the first overall pick in the draft. So they might want to keep on losing. That definitely benefits them. But I guess if you have a top five pick, you're still good. But I mean, hey, 2 years in a row of getting the first pick overall might be okay. But then again, they're playing the Browns, and the Browns have had the first overall pick like 955 times, and it hasn't ever worked out for them. So I guess they should ask them how that's gone for them. And it didn't go well for the Browns in this game. As a matter of fact, they lost 31-29. Actually, the Titans, for the most part, were leading the way in this one. And then the second half, the fourth quarter most specifically, that's when the Browns really turned it on. Shedeur Sanders actually had a very solid game. He went 23 for 42, 364 yards and 3 touchdowns. They also announced today that he is going to be the starter from here on out. So good for him. I mean, he's definitely earning the role. There was a very odd instance on a two-point play where they took him out. But I think a lot of people are just making a big stink out of it for no reason. I mean, it's just a two-point conversion play that actually, if you actually watch football, you'll see sometimes they take the quarterback out on those. It happens, but, you know, everybody in their fucking controversy over Shedeur Sanders, that's really unnecessary. But anyways, he's been balling out, and he had a great game yesterday. But even so, it was in a loss. Somebody who had a career day was running back Tony Pollard for the Titans. He had 161 yards and 2 touchdowns. And this was actually just a very shocking game from the Titans because they've been one of the worst offensive teams, hands down. And they just came right out the gate in the first quarter, had 14 points, were up 14-3 on the Browns, and then really just made it a battle all the way till the bitter end and got their second win of the season. Unfortunately, though, Myles Garrett, I didn't look, but my guess is he did not have a sack because I didn't hear anything about it in the highlights, and I actually meant to go look it up before I started recording the show, but I did not do that. My guess is he did not, because I did not see anybody talking about it today, and I kind of feel like we'd be talking about it if he had one or three. So my guess is he's still stuck on 19, but we can recap that on Wednesday's show. But I'm pretty sure he's still got to be there. Then we had the Washington Commanders at the Minnesota Vikings. And I believe I said on Friday's show that the Commanders should just sit Jaden Daniels the rest of the way. He's been injured way too much this year, and they're 3-10 now after this loss that they had yesterday. Ass-kicking loss, by the way. But they're a team that's going absolutely nowhere, so just let Daniels rest. Because, I mean, he started off the season getting injured. Then he came back, got injured again. Then he came back yesterday and got injured immediately in the first quarter. And they said it was precautionary, but still, to me, just stop. Just stop playing him. I know he's probably very competitive and is a dude who wants to be out there for his guys, but I feel like at this point it's just a waste of time. And who knows if he suffers a worse injury? What if he tears his ACL and then it bleeds over into next regular season? To me, it's just you have really nothing to play for. So just sit him down the rest of the season is what they should do, because he did get injured again yesterday. Doesn't look like it's bad, but just sit the dude, especially after yesterday's game. They got demolished by the Vikings 31-0, and this is not a very good Vikings team at all, but J.J. McCarthy looked pretty damn good yesterday, 16 for 23, 163 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he had a solid day, but that's kind of what you get with McCarthy. You get the good games like that one, and then you just get the terrible games. So he'll probably throw 3 interceptions next week. And I'm hoping he does, because the Cowboys play the Vikings next week. But like I said, with the Commanders, I told you on Friday's show, sit Daniels the rest of the way, because he's probably going to get injured again. He comes right out the gate in this game and gets injured again. And it was the same elbow that he's been sitting out for. I mean, real talk. just, he dislocated that elbow. It was so dislocated that you could see it on TV when it actually happened. Like, you saw the dislocation. So just let the dude sit for the rest of the season and just build your team in the offseason, because they're only 3-10 now. So if you get more, if you don't win any more games, you just get a higher draft pick. So, and I'm not even saying that because I hate the Commanders. I'm just simply saying that because they ain't got shit to play for. So don't play Jaden Daniels anymore. That's your future. He's a good quarterback. Don't fuck shit up by having him tear his Achilles or something fucked up like that. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets, and the Dolphins, you know, Tua usually does not play well in cold games, and it was a cold game yesterday, but the Dolphins just obliterated the Jets 34-10. And, I mean, there really isn't much to say about this game because, the Jets are completely out of it. The Dolphins are hanging on, but do any of us really believe that the Dolphins are going to the playoffs this year? Yeah, I think not. Achan, he had a solid game yesterday, but then unfortunately he was injured. He hurt a rib. So we'll see what happens there. Miami had a very solid game yesterday. Tua had a solid game yesterday. Wright, the wide receiver, their running back, the backup running back behind Achan, he had a solid day, 107 yards and a touchdown. But, like I said, Jets are done. Dolphins, who cares? So move along. Surprising game of the day between the New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I say surprising because I thought the Buccaneers were going to kick their ass. But at the end of the day, it's really not that surprising because it's a division matchup. And I always say division matchups are always weird. Anything can happen in them. I mean, anything can happen in any game, but division matchups are just anything can happen. And when it's, you got a team like the Buccaneers who've been dominating their division all season, and the Saints who have just been a bottom-of-the-barrel, garbage-ass team all season, just magically showed up. And actually, for the most part, the Saints actually led, especially in the second half. They led the way for the most part in this one. It was 24. They got the win 24-20. Baker Mayfield really did not have a good game. I'm actually kind of wondering if that shoulder injury is just really bothering him with his play, because he just, you know, he's still him, but you could just tell there's something holding him back. And it's just like, you know, at this point in the season, pretty much everybody's playing injured. But, you know, the type of injury he's got, you kind of need to, when you're throwing a football, you need to move your entire body. And he is he's a smaller quarterback, so he's always been that kind of guy who always has to throw his entire body into a pass. And I'm sure that shoulder is just not helping out. Even though it's his non-throwing shoulder, it's still probably not helping out. And so I imagine that's kind of what happened in this game. Even though, I will say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense got really shredded up yesterday by Show, rookie quarterback, who had like multiple runs yesterday. One was a touchdown as well. And he just was running all over him. So Tampa Bay's got to shore up that defense. I mean, because right now, Carolina is on that ass. Now, I still believe Tampa Bay is going to win this division, but there's a month left, and Carolina's a scrappy-ass team. Don't be shocked if they make things interesting here for this last month. You got to say, probably sad game of the day, the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars, not because of the end result. I mean, especially if you're a Jaguars fan. Jaguars demolished the Colts 36-19. But the bad news is Daniel Jones was already playing on a fractured fibula, already playing injured, tore his Achilles just right off the bat yesterday. And he knew it, we all knew it, and it just sucks to see. I mean, it's always sucks to see that happen to any player, but especially Daniel Jones has had some really, he's tore his ACL before, he's had some really debilitating injuries, so it's just like, he's probably just thinking, oh my God, this grind yet again, but that's the life of an athlete for sure. But now that leaves the Colts, a team that's already kind of reeling. You know, they started off the season great, but now they're reeling with a few losses in a row after this big one to their division rival, and now the Jaguars have overtaken the Colts for the division, and I kind of feel like the Jaguars are probably going to run away with it. I know the Texans, we'll talk about them here in a bit. Texans are kind of encroaching as well, but I think the Jaguars are a bit more complete, especially with the way they're playing. Trevor Lawrence, 17 for 30 yesterday, 244 yards and two touchdowns. Travis Etienne had 74 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. And it was a really overall solid day for the Jaguars offensively and defensively. Aside from the Daniel Jones injury, the Jaguars really just held down the Colts. Jonathan Taylor wasn't really able to do anything yesterday himself. So it was just a really overall good game for the Jaguars. They definitely needed that win, and now they have the division lead, and if they just they just keep hanging on, they got this one in the bag, because it kind of feels like the Colts are headed on their way out, especially with this injury to Daniel Jones. Oh, and by the way, before I started recording, actually as I was recording, saw a little update on my phone, and I actually had to double take. I don't even usually look at my phone when I'm recording, but I had to double take because I was like, does that say what it really says? The Colts are actually trying out quarterback Philip Rivers for their potential starting quarterback position for the rest of the season. If you don't know, Philip Rivers, like, just retired recently. I think it was earlier this year, but he hasn't played in like 2 or 3 years. So that's how in deep the Colts are right now. Because also their backup who came in yesterday, he injured himself as well. He injured his knee. So there's question on whether or not he's even going to be ready to go this weekend. So that's how it goes for the Colts. Then we had the Denver Broncos at the Las Vegas Raiders. This actually ended up being a close game. But the Broncos got the win, 24-17. They just had an overall solid game. They didn't really dominate in one way or the other, but, I mean, they, you know, they took care of business. The Raiders looked exceptionally dejected at the end of the game, which, I mean, is to be expected because it's the Raiders. I mean, come on. What have y'all done in years? You guys should be used to this shit by now, but I guess y'all thought Tom Brady was going to be part owner and his magic winning juice was going to rub off on you. Nope, sorry, it sure did not. But Broncos got the win, 24-17. Really wasn't much to say about that game other than that. Then another really good game was between the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. Gotta say, so I am a sucker for a beautiful pass. I love watching a great quarterback just boom, like in some camera angles. You could just see how beautiful it is. The perfect like look from a camera angle at a perfect pass is back way, 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 way long ago when John Elway was in the league and a playoff game against the Cleveland Browns. And it was the drive. And he has this one pass where it's just like the camera is just head on and you could just see this most beautiful spiral just coming right out of his hand. So for me, like to watch amazing quarterback play is just, it's just beautiful to me. And Caleb Williams is winning me over each and every game that I watch of his. Now, I haven't watched every Bears game because I don't really care much for the Bears and they're just not really a team I give a shit about, but I did watch this game yesterday and I've seen a couple of the Bears games this year, and the ones that I've seen, man, Caleb Williams just, he can deliver a pass. There was a pass he delivered yesterday where it was for a touchdown and he just throws it, you know, at the receiver. In front of the receiver is the defensive back for the Packers, and his hands are right in front of the receiver's hands, basically. And both of them are going out to grab for the ball. And just Williams delivers the ball so perfect that it goes through the hands of the Packers defensive back right into the receiver. And just when I watched it, I was like, oh, that's beautiful. I mean, get Caleb Williams a good-ass receiver, and this guy's going to be MVP of the league. He's got such a beautiful pass, and you can just see him growing confident more and more each and every week. But even so, the Packers actually got the win, 28-21, but I just really wanted to wax poetic about Caleb Williams because I was just, he's got a beautiful pass. That's just all there is to say about it. He can deliver a beautiful ball. That's just what he does. Spiral is perfect. It's like when I was talking about Aaron Rodgers just a bit ago, how he's just delivering precisely each and every time. Caleb Williams is doing the same thing. So, but the Packers got the win. But it was a battle back and forth between these two. They both wanted it. At first, it looked like the Packers were going to run away with it, but then the Bears slowly crept back into it, ended up tying it up at 21, but then the Packers just ran away with it. Josh Jacobs had 86 yards and a touchdown. Watson, their wide receiver, he has been huge since he's come back from injury a few weeks ago. He had 89 yards and 2 touchdowns in this one. Jordan Love, 17 for 25, 234 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Packers defense really held it down. As a matter of fact, this was a very defensive battle just all around. Like I said, Caleb fucking Williams, really enjoying watching this dude throw a football because it's beautiful. It's just beautiful to watch. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals, and the Rams did exactly what they were supposed to do. They kicked the shit out of the Cardinals, 45-17. Matthew Stafford, 22 for 31, 281 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think this guy is just elevating the case each and every week for MVP. That's really all he's doing. It kind of feels like he's like Myles Garrett. You know how I say Myles Garrett averages about 1 to 3 sacks a game? Matthew Stafford averages about 3 touchdowns a game. So him and Josh Allen, it's just like boom, 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 boom. Who's going to lead the league in touchdowns every week? That's what it's been all season long between those two. It's just who is going to throw the most touchdowns. Right now it's Stafford by, I believe, 1 touchdown last I checked. Even so, Blake Corum busted out of his shell yesterday. 128 yards on the ground with 2 touchdowns. And they have Kyren Williams back there. That's their starter, and Corum is their backup. So you look at the Rams getting stronger for this last month of the regular season, and then for the playoffs in general, because I kind of feel like at this point it's a shoo-in that the Rams are going. I don't know if they're going to win their division, because Seahawks are definitely making it interesting. And you can't forget about the Niners, even though I just don't think they're going to make it. I don't think they're going to win their division. Just the Rams are just killing it each and every week. And then Puka Nacua, 167 yards and 2 touchdowns. And he's just balling uncontrollably. It's just nuts, all the offensive weapons that the Rams have. And just how they are just blowing everybody out of the water right now. And then to end the night was probably the most hilarious game I've seen in a minute. And that was the Houston Texans at the Kansas City Chiefs, because I think it's finally over, y'all, at least for this year. I don't know. I kind of feel like as long as they have Mahomes, they're going to be in contention for something. But last night was probably one of the worst. I mean, it was for sure Patrick Mahomes statistically his worst game of all time. And that says a lot, because he's probably only had like 4 or 5 bad games in his entire career so far. But last night was probably his worst game of his career, especially on the statistical side. But I wouldn't say it's all his fault, obviously, because their offensive line is completely obliterated. So they were on like their third string dudes in certain cases. But a lot of drop passes from this team. Every time it felt like they were going to get back in it, because they did tie the game up, the Texans out the gate really wanted it. Their defense was really taking care of business. They were making sure Mahomes wasn't able to get out there, get those big runs. They were really actually making it a very, very difficult night for him. And they were delivering some hard-ass hits, man. Rashee Rice got taken the fuck out on a beautiful legal hit. And I was shocked they didn't throw a flag, because they just always want to throw the flag so quick. But it was just beautiful because they didn't, and he got blown the fuck up, and it was fun to see. Travis Kelce also got blown up on another play as well. I mean, it was, when you rewatch a lot of the highlights, like I have all day, it was an ass-kicking. And even though the Texans really didn't, score-wise, have a great game, they got the win 20-10. They really, especially on the defensive side of the ball, just took care of business and made it a horrific time for this Chiefs team. Now, they are still in contention for the playoffs, but they definitely aren't winning their division, and they need to not only win all of their games from here on out, but they need a bunch of other teams to start losing, and it's kind of looking like it's bleak. That's why I'm like, I feel like we can officially say they're done. Because I feel like even if they make the playoffs, there is no way this team is going to go to the Super Bowl. But you never know with this team. But they just, it was hilarious if you are a Chiefs hater. And I know a lot of us are, because we're just sick of seeing them win. That's just what it is, yo. But the Texans really, they tried giving it back to them, because this Texans offense is trash. I feel so bad for CJ Stroud, because his offensive line is awful. He has no ground game. He has no reliable receivers. He doesn't have a tight end. I was shocked that they won, just because when the Chiefs actually ended up tying it up, I was like, oh, there's no way the Texans offense is even going to be able to do anything. But luckily the Chiefs' stupid mistakes, they basically gave the ball back to the Texans twice on 2 fourth down plays and field goal range. And then also just some dumb bonehead penalties. And it was a very, very weird game from the Chiefs. We're just not used to seeing the Mahomes magic not work for them, because, you know, he throws up the bombs and usually just the weird plays happen for them and they score the touchdowns. it did not happen at all last night, and just to see the looks on their faces, it was beautiful, because we don't get to see that often, and I'm going to enjoy it, because chances are they're going to be right back at it next year, so I'm just going to enjoy their downslide for now, and like I said, they're still in it, and I would not be surprised if they made the playoffs, and if they made a run as well, but I think they're done. Moving on to Monday Night Football, and what should be a pretty good matchup tonight is between the Philadelphia Eagles at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite, and, you know, this Eagles team is kind of like that Chiefs team. I think that they're obviously way more talented than this Chiefs team that we were just talking about, but they just haven't been playing that great. They've been getting wins when they need to, but these last couple of games, they actually have not been doing that. And they just haven't looked good. They didn't look good against the Bears. They didn't look good in the second half against the Cowboys. And that goes for their defense as well, which is what's been carrying them. So is the drama finally starting to catch up to them? Or who knows? But to me, I feel like this is a game where they unfortunately get back on track. And the reason why I say that is, you know, the Chargers are coming out here. They have yet to even really find any type of identity this season. They really haven't looked good at all for the most part. I mean, they're in it, but I don't look at the Chargers as a threatening team in any way, shape, or form. They're a team I feel like they can lose it or win it. And it's just like, when they lose, you're like, oh, gee, what a surprise. And when they win, you're like, oh, gee, what a surprise. And so it's kind of like, if they were to win tonight, I would love it, because that would obviously help the Cowboys' chances at the playoffs, because they still got a chance, too. Eagles lose, it gives them an even better chance. But I just feel like the Chargers, you know, Justin Herbert's coming off of he just injured his non-throwing hand. He had surgery this week, so is that going to play a factor this week? They do get their running back, Hampton, back this week. He's been out since week 5. So they do get some help on the offensive side of the ball, but I just kind of feel like this is a game that the Chargers lose, because that's just what the Chargers do. They never, until the Chargers actually can prove that they're a worthwhile team, I just can't take them. So I'm going with Philadelphia tonight, even though I will 100% be rooting for the Chargers. I've got the Eagles winning 21-14. And also just randomness that has nothing to do really with the game. But I've been watching the pregame on ESPN for the last couple of hours, and they're doing something funny tonight with the movie and show from Disney, Monsters, Inc. It's actually one of my favorite cartoons of all time. But what makes me laugh is that Mike Wazowski, you know, the one-eyed monster, he's one of my favorite characters, and they keep showing him because they're going to do this, you know, they do those crossover things, and tonight they're going to do it with, you know, last year they did it with Toy Story, I believe. So this year they're doing it with Monsters, Inc., and it's tonight's game, and they keep showing him. And I'm just chuckling because, like I said, I love Mike Wazowski. So I actually happen to have a Mike Wazowski tattoo on me. It's actually a tattoo on my left butt cheek, as a matter of fact, in Mike Wazowski, and I just keep laughing every time they show the promo for the Monday Night Football thing with the Monsters, Inc., because the picture they keep showing of Mike Wazowski, of him waving at the screen, that's the exact picture of Mike Wazowski that is tattooed on my butt. So I just thought you all should know that. If you're watching, you happen to see that, and that's just so you know. Mike Wazowski, tattooed on my butt, and that's the picture. Him waving, like, what's up, y'all? By the way, I didn't do that for sexiness. Literally did that because I think it's hilarious to have a one-eyed monster tattooed on my butt. And like I said, love Monsters, Inc., one of my favorite movies. I love the show, everything about Monsters, Inc. So, whoop, there it is. Just randomness there that I felt I had to share with all y'all. So moving on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Number one, goddamn, the domination of the Oklahoma City Thunder is, it's reaching insane levels at this point. They are 23-1 on the season and are currently on a 15-game winning streak. Yeah, I'll say that again. 15-1-5. We'll see how long that keeps going. And they're so goddamn good. This week they beat the Golden State Warriors, Dallas Mavericks, and the Utah Jazz. By the way, they killed the Utah Jazz yesterday by 31 points. I know it was over 30 points. SGA did not play in that game. That is how good this Oklahoma City Thunder team is. It leaves you speechless just because they're so good. And I know, I keep thinking back to the Golden State Warriors when they had that season where they broke the Bulls record and blah, 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 and then would go on to lose the NBA Finals. So that could happen. But, I mean, this Oklahoma City team is, oh, my God, they're so good. And 15 in a row, and I feel like every week I don't even have to look at their stats. It's just they're good at everything. The end. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, my Los Angeles Lakers, 17-6 on the season. This past week, they lost to the Suns. They beat the Toronto Raptors, lost to the Celtics, which pissed me off, and then beat the Philadelphia 76ers. And LeBron showed y'all that he is still LeBron. I told you, LeBron's going to show up when he's going to play whatever role the game tells him to play. And last night's role was, I need to be old school Bron. He scored 10 straight points in the fourth quarter to just take over this game and get the win for the Lakers. But Luka, listen to the numbers that Luka is averaging on the season. Leads the league in points per game, averaging 35 points per game, averaging 9 rebounds per game, averaging 9 assists per game, and averaging 2 steals per game. This guy is having a monster ass year. And I know it's really early to be talking about MVPs, and especially with the kind of years that a lot of these guys are having, but Luka is having an MVP year to at least start the season. He is just putting up monster numbers, and it's just fantastic to watch. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 19-5. This past week, they beat the Atlanta Hawks, lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, and beat the Portland Trail Blazers and the Milwaukee Bucks. And Cade Cunningham, this guy, you know, he's really come out of nowhere. I don't think a lot of people even still really know who Cade Cunningham is, but he is definitely making a name for himself since last year. This season, he's averaging 28 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and 9 assists per game. And then it's really helping out that Jalen Duran is right out there, right next to him, just each and every game. Just he's averaging a double-double a game, 19 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, just absolutely dominating the paint. And this Detroit Pistons team is just suffocating the Eastern Conference right now. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 17-6. This past week, they lost to the Dallas Mavericks, beat the Indiana Pacers, beat the Atlanta Hawks, and beat the Charlotte Hornets. And, you know, I was talking about Jamal Murray, and it's like he heard me talking about him because I was telling y'all, it all, of course, runs through Jokic, who's averaging a triple-double still this season. But he needs another dude. And I was saying, Murray's that dude. And when Murray's playing well, the Denver Nuggets are playing well. Murray is on some. This last week and a half, he has been just obliterating every single team that they've been going up against. He's only averaging 25 points per game, but it kind of feels like this last week, he's been averaging about 40 points per game. He's just been getting out of his mind with scoring. And then another dude who's just randomly shown up out of nowhere is Peyton Watson. He's been really solid on the defensive side of the ball for them. He's had some really solid games offensively as well. And it kind of looks like he's a dude who's starting to, really help out with these couple of injuries they got. And then once they get Gordon and Brown back, they're going to have some real depth on the bench with a lot of these guys who are stepping it up right now in their absence. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 15-6. This past week, they lost to the Utah Jazz. They beat the Sacramento Kings. They beat the Phoenix Suns. And then they lost to the Dallas Mavericks. This past week, the big news was actually Kevin Durant became the 8th player ever to go over 31,000 career points, which just, I mean, that's KD. If you've been watching KD's career, it's scoring, and more scoring is that dude's thing. So it's not shocking to see him to accomplish that, but it just goes to show his dominance, how great he's been his entire career, and he still continues to score points, so it's going to be interesting to see how much further he climbs over the rest of his career. I mean, he's not really blowing people out of the water. He's more taking the shots when necessary now, but still, 31,000 points, that is nothing to scoff at. Like I said, only 8 players have done that in the history of the league, and he is one of them. Then at number six in my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 16-7. This past week, they lost to the Boston Celtics, they beat the Charlotte Hornets, they beat the Utah Jazz, and they beat the Orlando Magic. And Jalen Brunson, Karl Anthony Towns, Bridges, and Hart are just playing great basketball together right now. You know, Brunson is the dude who it runs through. Karl Anthony Towns just steps up and makes the big shots when he has to. But Bridges has been the biggest surprise. I continue to talk about him over the last couple of weeks because he just has been taking over games offensively, defensively. He's a very well-rounded player. And then, of course, you have Josh Hart, who's still the scrappy dude there in the middle and making the big defensive plays when they have to. And this New York Knicks team is really starting to surge. And they have to because the Eastern Conference, like I said, it's Detroit Pistons and then there's the team surging, but I can't take them that serious just yet. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves, overall record of 15-8. They're currently on a 5-game winning streak right now, and this past week they beat the New Orleans Pelicans twice and then the Los Angeles Clippers. And one big player that is starting to finally come back to the player he was last year especially. I mean, this guy really turned it on last year. But it kind of feels like he's been slow to get into the game, and that is Naz Reid. He had a huge game winner. Last week, it was either last week or the week before, either way, he had a huge game winner, and it seems like he's starting to get back to the old Naz Reid on the court, because just unfortunately in his personal life, his sister was murdered, so I see what's been taking him away from the game recently with his mind, but it kind of feels like he's getting back to his old self and starting to play the basketball that we're used to seeing, and he's really become a difference maker for this Minnesota Timberwolves team, because they definitely need difference makers with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets, not only in the same conference as them, but also in the same division as them. So that means they got to play those two teams more than everybody else. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the San Antonio Spurs, overall record of 15-7. This past week, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies, the Orlando Magic, and then lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And this team is just they're still playing pretty solid without Wemby. I mean, they of course are much more exciting, a lot more going on with Wemby, but they're still getting wins. They did get blown out by the Cavaliers, though, but still getting wins. Their young core is really stepping it up with some of these names I'm going to obliterate, because sometimes the Spurs get these dudes and you're like, what's that dude's name? I believe it's Vassell or Vassell. I don't know, but he's having a great year. But then Champagne, I believe is his name as well. Champagne, is that how you say it? I don't know how you really say his last name. I believe it's Champagne, though. He's playing solid basketball right now. Keldon Johnson playing some really solid basketball. But the scrappy veteran, Harrison Barnes, yeah, he's still in the league and still playing really solid basketball, really becoming a difference maker for the San Antonio Spurs team right now. But they're playing really well without Wemby, who's looking like he might be coming back here in the next couple of weeks. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the team in the Eastern Conference right now that is surging the hardest, playing some really, really good basketball right now on a 5-game winning streak, and it's a team you can't overlook. But it is a team I feel like they're not the same, because they're obviously missing their key player, and that is the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 15-9. This past week, they beat the New York Knicks, the Washington Wizards, the Lakers, and the Toronto Raptors. But, you know, without Tatum, we knew they were going to have their struggles, but right now they're on a heater. Brown is averaging 29 points per game, but he has really taken over, especially during this 5-game winning streak. Derek White's having a solid year. And Pritchard's having a solid year. They're really actually putting it together, but I still kind of look at them and they're not the same without Tatum. Brown's a very solid player, but they still need Tatum for the clutch plays, and I kind of feel like they're definitely going to be in the conversation for playoffs for the most part. I mean, obviously, they're going to be in the playoffs, in my opinion, because in the Eastern Conference, there's just not a lot of good teams, like I keep saying. It's Detroit, the New York Knicks, and then everybody else. So the Celtics should make the playoffs. I don't want to say easily, and it's not going to be as easy as it's been the last couple of years, but it kind of feels like once they get there, it's not going to be that big a deal, because they're missing Tatum. That's a big deal. But right now, they're playing really solid basketball, playing great defensively, playing great offensively, and just really looking like the old Boston Celtics, at least right now. And definitely have to talk about them, because they're surging, they're on a heater, and playing really solid basketball. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, have the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 14-11. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, lost to the Portland Trail Blazers, beat the San Antonio Spurs, and then lost to the Golden State Warriors. Donovan Mitchell is averaging 30.5 points per game. And another guy who's stepping it up for them is Evan Mobley. He is having a solid year. Nobody was really expecting much from him, and he's really come in and just really been basically like the second in line, kind of right behind Mitchell, at least at this point in the season, because they still are missing a few guys to injuries. But Cleveland's playing really solid on the defensive side of the ball, and they're still there. They're still in contention, and like I keep saying, Eastern Conference, not as much going on there as in the Western Conference. But speaking of the NBA, the NBA Cup actually it's getting back. Basically, the quarterfinals begin this week, then the semifinals are this weekend, and then the finals are next week. So we finally get to see the conclusion of the NBA Cup. The teams that are in it for the Western Conference, Oklahoma City Thunder, the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Spurs. And then in the Eastern Conference, Orlando Magic, Miami Heat, Toronto Raptors, and the New York Knicks. So the quarterfinals begin on Tuesday with the Eastern Conference matchups between the Orlando Magic and the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors versus the New York Knicks. The Orlando one versus Miami, I kind of feel like Miami's just the more reliable team. Although Orlando, they're literally picking up where they left off last year. They're a silent but deadly killer. I mean, they're playing really solid basketball, but nobody's really talking about it. And then, of course, they just suffered an injury to Wagner yesterday, I believe, or the game before, and it looks like he sprained his ankle, so he's out. And that was kind of the problem for them last year, is why they were playing well, and then they started to suffer injuries. So is that going to be the deal here? Whereas Miami is the opposite. They're getting all their dudes back from injury, and they were playing well without Tyler Hero, so I just kind of feel like they're going to play better, and this is a tournament type of deal here, so I just expect Miami to really put it out there, and I've got Miami beating Orlando, moving on to the semifinals, and the other matchup between the Toronto Raptors versus the New York Knicks, this is going to be a good one, because Toronto is, they're playing well, even though I think they're on a 2 or 3 game losing streak right now, so they're not where they were the last couple of weeks. But still, Brandon Ingram is balling uncontrollably right now. They're playing really solid on the defensive side of the ball, and they're able to score a lot of points. But the Knicks, they're a much more complete team to me. They've already gelled. You know, they already know each other for the most part. They already know they just have already built something with each other. And I just kind of feel like they're the better team. They're better offensively, defensively, and they're more reliable. So I have the New York Knicks moving on in that matchup. Then on the Western Conference side of things, that begins on Wednesday night. The first quarterfinals matchup is between the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Phoenix Suns. Now, the Phoenix Suns are actually a team that is on a heater right now, but they're missing their dude. And, you know, without him, I just don't think they can I just don't think they're going to be able to get past Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, I just got through saying Oklahoma City's on a 15-game winning streak. So there's that aspect of it, but, I just don't really see, the Phoenix Suns really putting it together in this series. I mean, they're playing good basketball right now, but, I just don't really see them putting it together against Oklahoma City Thunder, who are the best team in the league right now. And, I actually have, Oklahoma City Thunder winning that one pretty handedly just because Phoenix don't really have much going on. And then the Lakers versus the Spurs would have been a better matchup if Wemby was going to be in this one, but I just kind of feel like the Lakers are going to be way too much for the Spurs in this matchup. Even though the Spurs are playing really solid basketball right now, I just think the Lakers, Reeves is playing out of his mind, Luka's playing out of his mind, LeBron's getting healthy. Sorry about you, San Antonio, you're running to a buzzsaw, and I've got the Lakers moving on. Then the semifinals matchups that I have for Saturday, on the Eastern Conference side, I have the Miami Heat versus the New York Knicks. And in this matchup, I just think the New York Knicks are the better team. I think they're more well-rounded. I think they play better, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and that's where I think they're going to clamp it down. And I've got the Knicks moving on in that matchup. And then my Western Conference matchup is between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, of course, Oklahoma City Thunder, they're playing great. They're the best team in the league. But they got to lose at some point, right? And the Lakers are a damn good team. And, you know, I'm not going to pick against my Lakers if they're playing really good right now. And, you know, I actually do think the Lakers are a team that could actually compete with the Thunder. They have what it takes to score. It's really just a matter of them getting in their own way, which they absolutely could do. But I'm going with the Lakers in this one because, like I said, the Oklahoma City Thunder got to lose at some point. But if the Oklahoma City Thunder go on to win the NBA Cup, they would actually be the first team ever to win the championship and the NBA Cup in the same year. So they have that to look forward to, but I've got the Lakers moving on. So my NBA Cup Finals, which would be next Tuesday, it's actually my NBA Finals matchup. The Los Angeles Lakers versus the New York Knicks. That's who I have. And who do you think I've got winning the NBA Cup? For a second time in its 3 years of the NBA Cup, I have the Los Angeles Lakers, of course, winning the NBA Cup because this is my show and the Lakers are playing well. So, of course, I'm going with my Lakers. I'm always going to go with my team, always. But they are actually a damn good team. So they actually have what it takes. But it's going to be tough, especially up against Oklahoma City Thunder because, like I said, 23-1, 15-game winning streak. The fuck's going on there? Just nothing but winning. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.